Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Better be Stanley Tucci.
I'm like, I'm going to go introduce myself.
Better be.
It's not going to be.
That's Stanley Tucci.
So I am.
Extremely no.
No.
You guys, both of you.
I'm sorry.
Stop it.
We're no black girls.
So I am. I know. I'm in my moment.
And we say it right.
That's how you pronounce it.
Okay, I'm a telekinesis. Both your asses out of here, okay? So just give me a goddamn second. Okay, Biscuits, you have seen our guest today on Rent, 911, Devil Wears Prada, Devil Wears Prada 2. You guys, it's Tracy Tom. She's here on Tea Time.
And I'm in love with her hair.
I'm here at Tea Time.
Yeah, you guys have twin hairing vibes. So wait, Tracy, may I offer you a cup of tea?
Yes.
Okay, you guys talk hair, I'm making tea.
Okay. When you decided to faux lock your hair, what was the choice for you? Why?
Well, what happened was I was on a show called Truth Be Told on Apple TV, and the look for the character were locks. So I used to have twists, like kinky twists before then. So they found someone to do my hair, and it was Ashley Nicole out here in LA.
Hello, Ashley Nicole.
So I did it for that, and it felt right. But my own personal hair is very fine. So if I locked my own hair, A, permanent for work, but B, it would just be like,
so these are lock extensions.
Yes.
Okay.
These are pre-made.
Yeah. They're locks. Faux locks. Lock extensions different than a faux lock.
Yeah.
Fully.
Oh, these are crocheted in up here.
They're gorgeous.
Thank
you.
You
I decided to start my lock journey probably last. No. It was in February. And one of the best things I had ever done. Right now I have curls. I have like miracle knots in just because.
They're so cute though,
aren't they? They are so cute. It's adorable.
Little mushroom top. But I have like 3B, 3C hair instead of the really coily 4.
Yeah, it's hard.
And it's hard and it's been a journey, but at the same time, it's freeing in a way.
Yeah.
Whether it's faux, whether it's extensions, whether it's the real journey, there's something about taking that little bit of what the fuck am I going to do with my hair today out of the equation and lets me focus on like what I'm going to eat instead.
And I just think it's an interesting full circle moment because Raven and I were both in Good Hair.
Yes.
Chris Rock
documentary. And she was rocking the full straight silky.
Always. I had
wig at that moment.
I had a weave. It was a sew-in large weave.
It was a lot of
hair. What were you rocking?
Little twists.
Okay. Like you said. Okay.
Like, yeah.
I envy both of you because the hair journey is so real. And I feel like to have a style that is just cute and you can go and you don't have to, like Raven in particular has had no hair, all the hair. You've had the big yarn and it doesn't matter. Like it all looks great and
it does all look good on you.
Five minutes.
I appreciate that.
Once it's done. The installation can take way, way longer. Obviously it does. But I mean, once you have that on your head, you're just going.
So when she was younger, she had big curls, Shirley Temple-like curls, but fine. But now she straightened it so much, the wave pattern, she doesn't really curl. As much as she used to.
I did for a little bit, like kind of during the COVID days, I would get a good curl and I was really into bringing my curly hair back. But now, like Raven was saying, it's just kind of like limp dick, like frizzy, just like.
Calling your hair limp dick is wild.
It's just how I feel about
Let me
my
touch
hair.
It. Is it just the tip that
I
just
is. I was just going to try to see if I could let it go, but I don't.
You should never let anything go here.
No.
Can. I don't think.
Not here.
Capable of letting limp dick hair just.
That's how I feel about it. Really just. It's just like.
It's very descriptive. I mean.
You get it.
I get it.
You fully understand
exact,
it.
You know.
Say less.
And also like the disappointment of it. That's inherent.
Limp dick is so disappointing.
Hair. That is really. It is so disappointing.
Drip, drip.
Here she is with her limp dick hair.
Wow.
When you are in a chair at work or things of that nature, I know you said that, you know, you have to be careful, especially with you or you're a fucking accredited actress and mm-hmm. your hair has to mm-hmm. match the character.
Yeah.
But have you ever had that feeling of like, fuck you, I'm going to wear whatever I want to? Or are you always very much, let me just project my character?
Okay, so the beginning of my career, when I was coming out of grad school, I went to Juilliard.
Ooh.
Let's get it out the way.
Tink, 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 tink.
Yeah.
When I was at school, when you're in school, you just can't get your hair done. I mean, because you're like literally rolling on the floor and mm-hmm. playing animals and doing
being
weird,
a Juilliard person.
Being a Juilliard actor. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, so yeah.
An like, actor.
You can't really be in the salon. Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. And plus, this was in the 90s, so it was, so I just got braids. And I had a perm before that, a relaxer. Mm-hmm. And then I kept braids in for so long that my relaxer had like grown out. And then, but I had, you know, I was doing my braids and I was supposed to do the show in school as well. I was supposed to get my braids redone and I couldn't. Something happened on my schedule. So I had to go to school with like a head wrap with my little afro,
yep.
you know, under it. And then the director of the show I was doing, her name was Rosemary. She was like, let me see what your hair, why don't you just wear your hair like that? And I was like, what?
Because of all the trauma that you've put us in under black women of wearing our own hair.
That's why. She's like, I just want your hair to be like that for the show. And I was like, wow. Okay. And then from that moment on, I was like, what does my hair do now?
Nice.
What does it even do? So then I started exploring that. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to be a natural hair girl. And then I graduated and I'm like, I'm going to stick to my guns and wear my hair the way it grows out of my head, which is why I said that in our movie. I'm going to wear it the way it comes out of my head. And why is that a revolutionary thing to do? Which it was. And so my whole first 15 years of my career, I just had different natural hairstyles. Mm-hmm. Because I really wanted black girls to embrace black hair and believe that you can be a professional and have kinky hair. You can be a cop. I could be a cop. I could be a lawyer and kinky hair. After about 15 years, I'm like, okay, let me try this weave thing. And people really did not know what to do with me. They were like, who are you? Like, it didn't work. I did it for like maybe a year.
Interesting.
A year and a half. It didn't.
Because you were already branded yourself as natural hair girl. They couldn't. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like my brand mm-hmm. for sure. People walk up to me on the street. Like, when I had just my little twist when I first started, I had people come up to me on the street. They were like, where do you get your hair done? Because you look, and they would tap me, and they would turn around and go, oh my God, it's you.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yeah, hi. And they were like, I have your picture in my purse. Because I've been trying to figure out, I'm like, oh, you're going to go to Jamila Collier.
Okay.
Cam and Kinks.
Shout outs today.
She was at Cam and Kinks then. I think you could just reach out to her. I ended up this whole hair revolution. And then I met Chris Rock and he was like, can you be in my movie talking about natural hair? I'm like, sure.
Because that didn't happen back then.
Well, yeah. And I also didn't know I was going to be the only girl in the movie with natural hair. You know what I mean?
Trailblazer.
I would have just been more rah-rah about it. You know what I mean?
I understand. You gotta play the part. You gotta play the part.
I was being very like nice about it, you know. But yeah. So I'm this natural hair girl. And I just, you know, change it around a little bit from twist to locks to a twist lock combo.
Ooh, not a twist lock.
Twist lock combo.
Nice it.
Mermaid
nice.
Hair.
Fuck yes.
Different colors.
All the colors.
All the colors.
Yeah.
I love natural hair. My mother, she has natural hair mm-hmm. and she also would always tell me in our household growing up that there was nothing that a good cup of tea, no problem in the world that a good cup of tea could not solve.
Wow.
And I'm curious to know if you have a problem that Raven and I can help you solve.
With a cup of tea.
This is a good question. I have a premiere coming up
mm-hmm.
and one of the discussions is my hair.
Oh, I'm ready for this.
Right? Do I wear my hair the way people know me to wear my hair on this carpet, or do I switch it all the way up?
First question, what color is your outfit?
We're circling. It's either red, mm-hmm. like a deep plum red, or black.
Okay. Are you looking for that level up situation?
Yeah, that's the thing. The premiere is for Devil Wears Prada.
Okay.
Too.
Yes.
Okay, so it's a big premiere.
I figured.
So do we do a safe thing, or do we do like a, I look good, allow me to reintroduce myself? But blah, blah, fashion. Blah. But it's high fashion.
It's high fashion. And that's an opportunity to make a statement.
Yeah. Zendaya.
And have it be very, yes, Zendaya.
Right.
It's going to be less like, wait, who is she? And more like, oh, we see what she's doing.
Right. That's where I kind of am.
Yeah.
So.
And with the conversation you just had, which is you changed your hair. People didn't know who you were. You were known as this person. That I say, I believe first and foremost, mm-hmm. that the hairstyle should elevate the look,
right.
no matter what it looks like.
Right.
So if you have, in my, and we're just, I'm not a stylist, but in my head I am. If you have a very sleek dress, mm-hmm. you want the hair to be a little juxtaposition to make sure it stands out and looks good.
Right.
If you have something where the dress is flashy, then you want the hair to be subdued.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be dictated by that outfit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm going to have to like take my locks and style them in a really cool way.
Yeah.
Cause I'm afraid to like take them out and wear a wig.
Don't
and
do
change
that.
My whole.
Don't wear a wig.
Yeah. Don't wear a wig.
I'm scared. People do it.
I think you should style the locks, and you're wearing locks for Devil. Mm-hmm. For Devil, I think if you style the locks, one, they'll recognize you as that character.
Yeah.
But then you're also in love with it too, because yeah. you're rocking it so confidently.
Yeah.
I think you say, "Hey, Zendaya did it. I'm about to keep the thing going and let them see how beautiful it is, because locks are so gorgeous."
Yeah. Okay.
I think you should.
I agree completely, and I was going to say too, it's always important to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Because I think that when you want to exude that confidence, I mean, I know I struggle with this. If I'm in an environment and I don't like what I'm wearing and I'm like constantly fidgeting, I'm not going to be
right.
the best version of myself. I'm not going to be able to have the best conversation, whatever.
I always joke with my wife on that, because I grew up in a Hollywood where nobody gave a fuck if I was comfortable or not. You just put on the outfit and
right.
make sure it looks
and
good.
Look cute.
And she's
and
in
adorable.
A
yeah.
That one. And she's in a Hollywood. Where it's like, you have to be comfortable. I'm like,
just
when did
on,
the switch?
Raven,
just
be adorable.
Put the girdle on.
Too easy for her.
That's literally, and I just stopped caring after a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I want to live in that space where I just want to be, it's so weird.
Well, I don't even mean comfortable, like.
I mean confident, like.
Yeah, like yeah. Because I guess.
Questioning anything about what you're wearing.
Exactly. Because physically you can be uncomfortable in something, but you know you look bomb.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I'm going to suffer through not being able to breathe or my feet tingling. Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
But you're like, when I stand the fuck up, I look so good. It doesn't matter. I can suffer through it. I'm talking about another level of, I think, discomfort where you start like avoiding or dodging or not wanting to.
Mm-hmm.
Be photoed or something because yeah. you're just like, this is not working. And
that makes
doesn't
yeah.
help anybody or anything.
Yeah, you just want to be undeniable.
Exactly. Yeah. My ladies, let's go down the rabbit hole.
Okay.
I want to talk about your experience on Catfish.
Oh, wow.
Because I...
rabbit
wow.
hole.
Rabbit hole. Because you were the Big first thing. Celebrity on it, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me everything. How did this relationship develop with the person who catfished you?
So what happened was I was doing this movie and we had a lot of fan involvement with this film. And so this girl, she was making like fan art and stuff like that for us. And she was really great. And she was really like smart and funny. It's a black girl. And she was like alternative, which I always have a very special place in my heart mm-hmm. for like alternative, like punk black girls.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
They're unicorns.
They're unicorns. They're often not supported. You
I
know
agree.
What I mean? By their community. Like, she lived in Philly, so I knew it was, you know, whatever.
Yep.
So, you know, so we're just kind of like online, you know, friends.
Yeah.
And then after a while, she introduced me to another alternative black girl. And I was like, oh, there's another one of you. And they're best friends. I'm like, great. So I was talking to them both. You know, like kind of DM and talking, like, you know, pen pal type of things. And then the new girl told me she had cancer. And I was like, oh, that's horrible. But something was like,
pinged you?
Yeah. And I couldn't tell what it was, but I was kind of like, okay, well, you know what? You know, it was all like very dramatic. It was like, I'm stage 4, there's no stage 5, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, this is way back in 2012, I think. I'm like, okay, well, you know, she says, well, can I talk to you about it from time to time? I'm like, you can, but I'm not always going to be here. You need to talk to people like in your actual real life.
You need to go
real.
To a grief group.
Yeah. I can't be that person for you. Like I'm not, but you know, but I'm around, you know, you can DM me and if I get it, I'll write you back,
yeah.
but I'm not going to be like your support system for
yeah.
this. And plus you have your friend who, your other friends who, then it progressed very, very quickly. Then at one point I saw them talking to each other on Twitter and it was like, I'm so terrified or whatever. And I don't want to bother Tracy or whatever. And the other girl's like, well, I'm like, wait,
on Twitter though.
On Twitter. And I'm like, this is very weird. And I jumped in like, wait, what's happening now? What are we talking about here? You know, this is the thing. They weren't tagging me. They were just having this conversation. And then out of nowhere, the first girl texts me and she's like, have you heard from Reese today? And I said, no. And then she's like, she's not answering her phone. And I'm like,
okay.
Yeah. You know, that's weird. But like, that's your best friend. Why are you asking me? And then later on, she's like, Tracy Reese died.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh my God, right?
Oh my God. Literally, I'm in it with you right now. Oh my God.
I was like, oh my God, that was very fast, A, and B, you know, and then she's like, I'm so sorry, telling me, I'm so sorry Reese died. I'm like, that's your best friend. Why are you
texting me?
Just the human nature things about it weren't adding up, but I couldn't be like, I don't believe you.
Right. That's true, because it's cancer.
Because it's cancer.
Yeah, you got to be sensitive.
You don't know these people that well. Like,
Yeah, and also, like, I'm just over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then gave this whole big thing. There was a funeral. There's all this stuff. So then I'm telling this other girl who's a friend of mine who actually developed a friendship with them. So she was very upset. And then something happened that didn't make sense.
Okay.
And I can't remember what it was. But then my friend was like, wait, do we think this is real? And I'm like, I don't know, but I can't accuse her of lying.
Yeah.
And then she's like, wait, do we think Reese is real? I'm like, I've never actually seen it. I've only seen one picture of Reese. I've never seen them in videos together or pictures together.
She was playing both roles?
Yeah.
She made up a person, talked to the person on Twitter back and forth, gave her friend cancer and killed her for attention.
I know someone.
From you.
From you.
From me.
Specifically wanting it.
Yeah, but there were other kind of celebrities involved as well, but they just didn't get as involved as I did because.
Because you're a kind human.
Because I'm a kind human. I'd solved the catfish. We finally confronted her.
Was the solving done on the show or did you solve before and then go to the show?
I solved it before.
Okay.
Good for you.
And the girl got caught. She finally was caught. She started like deleting everything and I was screenshotting everything. It was very dramatic.
For you.
Yeah.
It was very dramatic. So I'm like, oh, you're not going to act like.
You could make a movie.
You didn't do. Yeah. So I have all the screenshots.
That's crazy. Also,
it was very insane.
Also, I know someone that's actually in this room who did something like that as well, but she did it for the health of another person. My wife pretended she was Angelina Jolie for a friend of hers who was having a psychotic break.
That's different.
No, well, I don't know because
I mean, the skill might be the skills involved. Very similar.
I'll tell you.
But that's what I'm getting at. Okay. It takes a Thank special you, person.
Thank to you, be babe, able so much. Listen,
tell the story, babes. That's your I'll catfish. You,
yeah,
this is how she catfished somebody.
I was the catfisher, I guess, in a way.
Yes, you were.
My friend was really sick. She had full on psychosis, delusion disorder, and believed that she was married to Angelina Jolie. And at the point that I came back into this person's life, after having been estranged from her for many, many years, she had isolated everybody in her life, her family, her friends, and people had tried to intervene and couldn't. It was a really dark situation, quite frankly. And I was able to get her to trust me as Miranda because of the history we had, which was knowing each other from a very young age. We grew up across the street from each other, and she really loved my family, and that was really beneficial to the game, I guess, that I had, the game that I ended up having to play, which was coming back into her life, figuring out what her psychosis was, what the delusions were manifesting as, and then I was like, okay, and I said to Raven.
I have to embody them.
I wasn't going to be Janet Jackson. I wasn't going to be Elon Musk.
No.
Angelina was the strongest command delusion that she was having because everything that she was experiencing mostly were command delusions from this Angelina Jolie presence character in her brain. And therefore, if Angelina said, don't open the door, she wouldn't open the door. Of course, this is all happening in her brain.
Yeah.
But I had to somehow cross the bridge because I said to Raven after seeing what was happening, we need to get her into a facility. And mm-hmm. we tried kind of a normal way. She hadn't left her house in a long time.
My wife is prolonging this. She started 2 email accounts.
Telling a good story.
You're skipping over what we're getting at. She started 2 email accounts.
I just hadn't gotten
there
yet.
She texted this woman through 24 hours a day as herself and as Angelina, she would be like, what did Angelina say? She would have a whole conversation with the girl, and then she would have a conversation as Angelina
that
with the girl.
That is true. I had to get a new phone number.
Thank you. Get to the part I where you catfished her.
Because I had to start texting her as Angelina, because, and then I'd have to say as Angelina, listen to Miranda. You can go with Miranda because I want you to go with Miranda. But here's the real kicker for me.
Oh, okay. There's a real kicker.
So the real kicker
is...
We
haven't gotten to the real kicker yet.
No, this is the real kicker. I was exhausted. I was like, I also have a life and a job. And now I'm being Angelina Jolie 24/7. But once I got her to the treatment center and the staff there was fully aware of what was happening. They knew that she was coming in with this. They knew the role that I had played. I had talked to interventionists that they had hired and the clinical team before she was there. I was like, great, here we go. End of story. No, because the system is so screwed up. You can't 5150 a person. You can't do this. She still has rights. So if she says, I want to leave, she can leave. Even though she's in this, she is clearly a harm to herself. They had me maintain it. They needed me.
A professional system had my wife, not in a medical field whatsoever, maintain the delusion so that she could stay.
The therapists were like, we have to keep her here. We have to get medication back into her system. It's going to take time. We need months of time. But she has the right to walk out the door at any time. So I had to maintain these fucking emails for like over a month and a half. But I will tell you, she stayed. She got fucking well. The medication finally kicked in. I did the thing I had to do, honestly, to save a life. And I don't say that lightly, but like I was saving her life. And I then had to tell her that Angelina wasn't real. And it was me the whole time. We had that moment. And I'm happy to report that today she is well and thriving. She's a brilliant human. She's so smart. She just suffers.
Should my wife go on Catfish?
As what? Angelina?
As a catfish expert?
Yeah.
As a catfish expert. From the catfish
Did you learn more about a human after that experience? Are you more wary of humans now?
Yeah, I am. But what ended up happening, just to finish the
wrap-up,
when we were in Germany, we had a videographer. And the videographer that was with us is a producer on Catfish. We were in the bus going from base to base, they were like, oh yeah, I do Catfish. I'm like, that's not real. Even though I had been Catfish, I don't even know why. And I was like, they aren't real, or the movie's not real, or whatever is not real. And he was like, yeah, tell my brother it's not real. You know, and I was like, I was like, wait, so what happened? I told them on the bus while we were driving this whole story happened.
Crazy.
And they were like, would you be on our show? And I said, yeah, but Neve and Max did not know the story at all. They had to really, really solve it. And they really did. They found the girl.
Oh, wow.
We went to Philly, confronted the girl at a pizzeria.
Was it good pizza?
I don't even think we ate any pizza.
That's fair.
It was just like me like being like,
why?
Yeah. Why did you do that? And she's like, I just got addicted to the attention. She was very like meek and it was really sad. I just hope she's doing well. She was like, but it was confusing to me. So I'm like, you had my attention. You already had my attention, but more attention.
Oh, that's crazy.
But it was fun. I mean, the catfish aspect of it, once we got to Philly and, you know.
It's good to be
a celebrity. That part was fun, like the goose hunt of it all.
Yeah, the Scooby-Doo-ness of it was
fun. Yeah, the mystery. I was going to say, you seem very grounded and very in your humanness. And to be somebody who has acted and worked for as long as you have, to be parts of such huge iconic things, Rent, Devil Wears Prada. How do you maintain that groundedness?
I don't know. It's just who I am. I saw Rent, the original cast, when I was at Howard, when I was undergrad. And I was like, this is the kind of story that will save lives and change them, and I need to be a part of it. And I auditioned 9 times for the show on Broadway. Did not get it.
That's so wild.
Didn't get it. And then I got the movie. And then I did it on Broadway.
Of course.
But knowing firsthand what a show like that means for people, even to this day. I was talking to a girl last night. I went to go see a show, and this girl last night just started crying. And she was like, you don't understand what that show meant to me and what your representation meant to me as a little queer girl. I was like 8 and I already knew I was different and nobody understood me. And
I'm going to say Joanne in particular, being such a feisty, strong, black queer woman. I mean, that was, especially at that time, amazing to see.
Parents who were okay-ish with her being queer, you know, was a big deal.
Do you remember where you were when you got the call that you got the role?
Yeah, I was in the neighborhood that Rent takes place in. I was leaving a commercial audition that was humiliating. Like, humiliating. Like, we all had to make out with a mannequin.
That's weird.
It was very weird. I was like, I'm not putting my mouth on that. But there were all these different colors of lipstick all over.
Ew.
And I was like, walking down the street, and I was like, look, what am I doing with my life? Like, really, what's happening?
That's when you just question all
everything.
Choices.
You know what I mean? What a time. Sorry. I had heard the day before that I was under serious consideration for it. They were like, oh, so they really loved your tape. I'm like, huh? Because it was like a month later. I forgot about it. And they're going to let us know tomorrow if you're testing for it or if it's going to give it to you. And I was like, what? I'm getting Rent. It's going to be Queen Latifah. Like, literally, hilarious! I was like, it's going
my
to
gosh.
Be.
No, she's not doing no Rosa.
It's
cool. Back then, she was.
No. Well, I was going to be Alicia Keys. It was going to be somebody.
There you go.
Some pop star was going to do it. Not me.
I'm dead.
Who hadn't done anything, really. I was walking down the street, and I got a phone call, and I was like, oh, okay, this is from the agent. But I guess we're going to talk about a test or something, or next steps. So I answer, I'm like, hello? And they're like, hi, and it's my agent and my manager. I'm like, oh shit, it's both of them.
When it's both of them, it's
both
real.
Of them. Yeah. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, okay, huh, what? You know, they're like, you tell her. No, you tell her. No, you tell her. No, you like, somebody tell me something.
Yeah. Feeling.
And then my agent was like, you're Joanne and Rhett.
That's so epic.
And I screamed profanities in the street.
Hell yeah, you did.
Screaming. I mean, I must have looked crazy. Oh my God, you fucking kidding me. You fucking kidding me. You know, screaming. Then I walked 40 blocks.
Because that's what one does.
Called everybody I'd ever met. Called my high school boyfriend who took me to see the show.
Oh, my God.
Life-changing moments.
I called people I stood in line with to audition.
Okay, everybody, you just told everyone. Oh, my God.
Bitch, I got it, not you.
Yeah, exactly. I remember as a little girl, my father used to have a CD. What's it called? CD?
Mm-hmm. It was a CD book.
Yeah, a CD book in the car. And then when we were driving, you know, I could pick out a CD. And Rent was always the CD I'd pick out. It was the red original. And I mean,
it was original cast, yeah?
Yeah, original cast. And my father, being the man that he is, Broadway dude, whatever, producer, I don't get the whole history of the show and how things are made, whatever show we were listening to. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was, I mean, 525,000, that song, and then your song were the two.
Take
the,
or Leave Me?
Yes. Were that, I mean, that was like the song for me.
Yeah.
It is, I have no question. I'm just letting you know that I just love that song. And
oh,
the fact
thank
that,
you.
I mean, I guess I do have a question. When did you discover that you have a voice?
I used to just lock myself in my room and practice like In Vogue and Whitney Houston, and just try to do it like they did it. You know what I mean? And eventually it clicked when I was probably 16, 17.
That's fair.
Because my dad came to see a show. Well, my dad, my whole family came to see a show, but he talks about it. And I had to start this, it was called Big River, and I had to start the song off stage. I played a slave in Big River.
Gotta love casting.
So this song is called The Crossing. It's a great song, but you start off stage and then you walk on stage.
You're crossing.
Yeah.
Crossing. I don't see the stage, right? And I started singing off stage, and he had no idea it was me. And then when I came on the stage, he was like, wait, when did this happen?
Aww.
How was this happening? Where did this voice come from? And I was like, I just been working on it. So it's like it just eventually clicked.
How cool.
Ew, I'm so jealous. I was in the car with my mom years ago, and I was like, Mom, I want you to listen to this. And I put in one of my new songs. And she said, God, everybody thinks they can sing. So I just want to skip to the fact that you guys both have brought up your fathers. And I find it interesting that you guys kind of share fatherly things.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's dad, so my father-in-law, was also vice president of a company like yours. Yours was a vice president of programming at PBS. And my wife's was, give him the title correctly, because I don't want to ruin your title, Greg.
He'll jump out of that camera.
Yeah, he will.
He was the VP of TV at Warner Brothers.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And a television director. So how does it feel to be Nepo babies?
You go first, Tracy.
How does it feel? And you're thriving, so it's okay.
She's jealous.
I'm so jealous. What are you talking about? I'm extremely jealous.
I know. You say it all the time.
Well, you know, I had a really great situation growing up because my father was very much like in the arts and my mother was a social worker. So she was very like...
Humanity.
The humanity. Mm-hmm. And my dad, you know, I don't remember the first play I went to. I don't remember being introduced to the arts. It just always was a part of my life. So when I started wanting to be an actor... I took acting classes when I was 9. My dad was like, great, you know. And also they both went to college. You know, my mom also went to graduate school. So it was always understood in my house that you had to learn how to do a thing. Mm. You know, could take a class, learn how to do it. so I have a lot of training as an actor. So it's almost too much.
10,000 hours.
But it's fine.
Juilliard training and more.
Juilliard. I went to Howard. For theater before that. Yeah. I went to the Baltimore School for the Arts.
Oh, you're educated.
Yeah. I went to,
you know Shakespeare.
Oxford, this program in Oxford to study Shakespeare.
Sorry to interrupt you and change this a little bit, but we had an interesting conversation with somebody who also went to Juilliard, and she was saying that she never had one opportunity to do a black play. No August Wilson, no black playwrights.
Was the person older than me?
No.
No.
No. What's her name? You can say it because it already aired. The girl who was
Rutina.
Rutina. Okay. Yes, I'm thinking the year. Rutina was 4 years behind me. So
behind you?
Behind me.
Yeah. Yeah. Rutina's younger than her.
Yeah.
Rutina's younger than her. Oh, so even that's crazy. So did you have the same experience then?
What happened with me was I had already been a Howard. So when I got to Juilliard, I was like, this isn't going to work.
Ah.
So I started putting together staged readings of August Wilson plays. I'm like, we're not going to, and I would do a lot of the stuff in class. I would do the scenes in class to work on it with the other black students who were there. And I started really working on like bringing the black students together. Because they were very disjointed when I got there and very, the program did not serve their needs specifically. It didn't know how to really, but we had a voice and speech teacher who was black. So she was really great. Denise Woods. She's amazing. And we had a black movement teacher. So they were trying to take care of us and they really did. But then Denise left. She left.
Got it.
It was important, but I honestly do believe that my time at Howard benefited Juilliard.
You know, makes sense.
Because I was just like, no, you know, so Rutina and I didn't go to school together. She was a year, I matriculated out and then she came in. If I had still been there, we
she would have
fought.
Had that experience.
But we were fighting for it. You know, and they fight for it now way more.
It's crazy. Let's talk a little bit about Devil Wears Prada for 2 seconds. You classically trained 18 schools. Did you need it?
For Hollywood. Because
yeah.
Compared
so
to some people that are in Hollywood, ain't nobody took not goddamn one lesson. No. And plus, mind you, I didn't really know my career was going to be here.
Okay.
I thought I was going to be doing plays, you know, my whole life. And so for plays, yes, you need it. For me, I needed it.
Okay.
But I understand that it's not for everybody and not necessary. Because, I mean, training for like what we do for TV, film and TV specifically, is like there for when your instincts fail you, right? It's why you have technique and you learn it. It's where your instincts fail you. So you have to trust your instincts, but then if you get to a point and you're like, huh, I don't know how to play this.
Go back to the notebook.
Get the tools out, you know, whatever. Because they will fail you sometimes. Mm-hmm. You won't know what to do all the time. So it's not like you're just flying blind. For me, it was really important because, you know, and I hit a roadblock of a scene. I'm like, I can't play the scene. I'm just faking it. You know what I mean? I'm just like saying words and they're not connecting to anything.
Mm.
Then I need to know that I know how to get myself out of that problem. That's for me.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? And I was also very like rigid act. I would just practice a lot. I didn't know how to free myself up for nuance and discovery.
Mm.
I would just know how to learn my lines and hit my mark and say it the right way.
That's one of the things that my father, back to our fathers,
mm-hmm.
would criticize with actors. And oftentimes when he saw younger actors, he'd say, don't go to class. Because mm-hmm. sometimes that structure and that way of learning something, you then lose your ability to kind of play and find the fun, mm-hmm. and create your own relationship to the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find that interesting, that there really is no one way to do something.
If there's one way to do it, I did it.
Right.
You know, yeah. But that's not the one. There's not one way.
Yeah. No, there is never really one way. I just love the fact, though, that in your household, you were able to say, this is what I want to do. And mm-hmm. your parents encouraged it and supported it and said, just go take a class and lean in.
Yeah, but I was practical enough to keep fighting against it. You know what I mean? When I went to high school, I went to a regular high school my freshman year and hated it. Day one, hated it. My mom was like, hey, go to a regular high school. Be normal. Dad was like, do you want to go to school for the arts? I'm like, no, Dad, I need to be normal because I'm not going to be an actor for life. I'm not going to make any money. I'm not going to be successful.
That's what the parents are supposed
to
say.
Exactly, I know.
I was very practical. And Dad was like, okay.
What sign are you?
For Leo.
Oh, me too.
When's your birthday?
August 19th.
Oh, we're both like August. I'm August 6th.
Oh, yeah.
Hold August 6th. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Y'all look crazy. I'm sorry.
What? Wow.
I'm a Sag. I can say that. Yeah, it's okay.
You're
crazy
like,
Sag.
But you're like, Sag is like crazy Leos.
We are amazing. I'm just letting you know.
Did you say Sag is like crazy Leos?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we're the horse and the human. Yeah. And y'all are,
do you feel like you're a crazy Leo?
No.
But
that's
I am.
What a crazy Leo would
you
say.
Feel like I'm a crazy Leo?
I'm not a crazy Leo. People don't believe I'm a Leo until I tell them. They're like, oh, yeah. I guess I can see that.
Are you more Leo in your relationship with like a partner, or are you more Leo in your friendships? Am I making sense? Because sometimes, especially
what
with
are you
actors,
defining by Leo though too?
Basically. Y'all always right. Y'all super hard headed. You kind of know all the things. The ambition is crazy. The vision.
I'm like that in my career.
Okay.
But I'm pretty. I think I have like Aquarius in my chart.
Okay.
So the Aquarian stuff balances out the Leo.
That's fair. That's
so.
Fair.
Yeah, am I stubborn? Sure. Do I need to be right? Who doesn't want to be right?
That's a Leo answer. Without saying yes.
Who wants to be wrong?
They say, well, there's
who wants to be wrong?
There's virtue in learning.
I admit when I'm wrong.
That's, yeah,
I have a problem being wrong. I admit when I'm wrong.
That's always what Leo say, but it's okay because the Leo ambition is so addictive and the trajectory of a Leo. You need to be that hard headed.
I think what I'm hearing you say is let's play a game. Understood. Let's play a game. Okay, this game is called...
Welcome to Tea Time.
Fashion or Fiction. Ooh. I am going to read this off to you guys, okay. And you're going to have A, B, or C's. You'll tell me what you think. Which item was originally designed for labor workers, not fashion? A, a trench coat. B, a denim jacket. C, ballet flats.
I know, a trench coat.
I
thought it was a denim jacket.
You're correct.
What? What? Wait a minute.
Leos don't like to be wrong because they're usually not.
I was about to say something. I'm going to come for you right now.
Which color was historically the most expensive to produce in fashion? A, purple. B, red. C, black.
I know.
It's purple.
Purple.
You guys are both correct.
Well, we're black and we do royalties. So.
There you go. Which designer is credited with popularizing the little black dress? A, Coco Chanel. B, Christian Dior. C, Yves Saint Laurent.
I think it's Coco Chanel.
I think it's Victoria Beckham. I'm just playing Coco Chanel.
It's Coco Chanel.
Yeah, it's Coco Chanel.
Which accessory was originally created for men, not women? A, high heels. B, handbags. C, silk scarves.
High heels.
That's it?
Yes.
Wait, what? Wait, y'all always been... dressing that way.
Look at the old pictures.
Those French people.
Because they want their calves to look good.
Your boyfriend, Napoleon.
They want their calves to look good.
I love Napoleon.
Yes, the calves.
They would, you know.
They would tip-tip like that?
Tip-tip like that on the calf.
Tip-tip.
Not a tip tip.
Tip tip.
Which decade introduced the miniskirt to mainstream fashion? 1950s, 1960s, or 1970s?
60s.
I think the 60s.
Yes, girls.
We're thriving.
I've had them all right.
You have. Which?
I missed one.
Until Leo. Now. Watch Leo. This.
You got this. Which fabric? It's Leo. Telekinesis, whatever. Which fabric was once considered scandalous because it revealed body shape? Silk, jersey, or linen?
Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jersey, yeah.
And it's telepathy.
What did I say?
Telekinesis.
We're moving things around with our brains. That's telekinesis.
That's, is it pronounced telepathy? I don't think it's pronounced telepathy.
Telepathy.
It's called
telepathy. But see, I just let it go. I was like, I don't know if that's what.
Whatever.
But then I was trying to get the next question right.
Yeah.
And I thought it was telepathy. Which pattern became iconic after being associated with British aristocracy and hunting culture?
Come on now. I can give the name of it right now. Go house ahead. Tooth.
You want to try and just pull off the dome?
No, I need to get
Is it polka dots, plaid, or stripes?
What?
Plaid. Because it's plaid. Houndstooth ain't even on it.
It's a houndstooth
is not on the list.
It's not. It's a houndstooth.
Houndstooth! Houndstooth is not even an option.
She's out here.
I want to check the records. AI? I don't know. Moving on. Great questions. Anyway. Did you learn any of that because of your time on Devil Wears Prada?
No.
Got it.
What did you learn?
Did I learn
Devil Wears Prada?
Like,
One and two.
Was it like a thing, kind of like Sex and the City, where you walk into a room and there's a whole bunch of outfits, or was it like just normal movie where that didn't happen?
Well, no, it's not normal because it's Devil Wears Prada. The first one was kind of normal.
Okay, then the first one was normal.
Because we didn't know we were going to have a big hit.
Now, like a good actor, did you walk away with anything that they did not know?
No, I didn't steal anything. And it's so bad. The first one, people are like, you kept the bag, right? I'm like, I did not keep the bag.
You're so good.
Because.
You wanted to come back for the second?
Yeah. Well, that, and we were supposed to have another scene. And the scene got cut before we shot it.
And you were going to take it if you did it again.
I was going to take it then. Didn't know I was going to take it.
Damn.
You know, this is really not very much to do with anything, but I'm going to tell the story because it really shook me.
I love a tangent.
So Raven and I were in a bookstore once, and there's a wall of like the newly released books, and there's a photo.
I'm not going to look at you. I'm going to look at you.
That's fine.
While you tell the story.
That's fine. And there's a photo of Stanley Tucci on the cover of his new book.
Mm. Period. Stanley. What up, boo?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And she nudges me and points to this man who's also bald, wearing glasses, looking very Stanley Tucci-esque.
No, not looking very. Looking exactly.
Exactly like him. But she like nudges me and she like looks at the guy and then looks back at the book and I do. Oh, wow. I was like, it's fucking Stanley Tucci. How cool. So I am like all in this and I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, I'm going to go introduce myself.
Better be Stanley Tucci.
I'm like, I'm going to go introduce myself.
Better be.
It's not going to be.
It's Stanley Tucci.
So I.
Extremely
no.
You guys, both of you.
I'm sorry.
I'm in my moment.
That's
how you pronounce it.
Okay, I'm a telekinesis. Both your asses out of here, okay? So just give me a goddamn second. So I'm thinking about what I'm going to say. And I'm like, I am going to go up to him and be like, yo, Stanley, I know, like, not
no.
yo.
Yo, Stanley. No.
Yo, Tooch. Did you do that on set?
I was going to be the Tucci.
No, I don't have any scenes with him, but I would have.
She's not even going to care about this story at all because she's like, I don't even know the man. Whatever.
I just really needed it to be Stanley.
I'm thinking about what I'm going to say to him. I'm going to be like, sir, listen, I know Tony Shalhoub. You know Tony Shalhoub. We're all friends. We're Italian. Let's cool. Let's talk. Whatever. I'm like walking up to this man and I go, oh my God, it's not fucking Stanley Tucci. It was literally.
It was his doppelganger without a doubt.
His doppelganger to the nth degree that. I don't even understand how shit like that happens in real life.
How many steps in his direction did you take?
a solid five and had
five,
my phone out.
Like a beeline.
I was about to do this. Like the phone, I mean like the book cover.
We
should have
did it.
Did he see you coming at him?
No, I stopped her before that happened.
I also was going to be like, this man should sign this book for us. This is cool.
I would have never.
I was very, very unlike my character, but I was just like, this is shocking. And then it wasn't the fucking guy. I love that.
Thank you so much for coming. This has been a pleasure to talk to you and learn you like this.
Yay.
Pioneer.